Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Haunted New Harmony. Once the site of two utopian societies, New Harmony, Indiana today is now a sleepy community, home to roughly 800 souls, if you only count the living. But that's the thing about New Harmony. You need to count the dead, as they are just as active. Nearly every building in town is very much a home to both current and previous residents, many still continuing on with their goal of creating a perfect utopian society. Are these spirits happy with how the town has transitioned over the years? Or are they restless and frustrated with generations that have come after them? Join us as today we talk with Joni Mahan about Haunted New Harmony.
Well, I had grown up in the area in my youth and ended up moving to Massachusetts, and I spent 30 years there. But I really felt a pull to come back after my children left the nest and I had more free time. I ended up making the decision to move back to Southern Indiana. And it was kind of strange because I never lived in New Harmony before this. It was a town I was aware of and admired. But when I came back, I really had a very strong pull to come here. And I was very adamant. People were helping me look for houses, and I was not interested in any other town. New Harmony, it was New Harmony or nothing. And I'm glad. I see kind of sometimes things work out for a reason. And I kind of see that now that I'm here, because it's been a wonderful move for me.
So what did you know of New Harmony when you moved there, having been in the area a bit, but what was your knowledge of the town?
Well, I knew it was a historic town and that it was a site of two former utopian societies. It just had a very quaint aura to it that I really loved. And I think as a child, I was more intrigued by the things like the labyrinth. We have two labyrinths in town, and just how old and beautiful all the buildings are. But as I grew older, everything else seemed to resonate with me. New Harmony seems to be a very spiritual community, and it's so diverse with all the offerings. There's art, history, music, antique shopping. It's a golf cart community, so people ride their golf carts around. It's like stepping back into time in some ways, and that really resonated with me. And as an adult,
what was your first inkling or sign that there was spiritual activity in terms of ghosts on a higher level in New Harmony?
Well, I'll start this off by saying I am a sensitive, borderlining on mediumship. I have been feeling the presence of ghosts since I was a child. And as I finally embrace this ability, it's become stronger. It's like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it becomes. So during my time in Massachusetts, I started investigating the paranormal and then started also embracing my gifts and trying to work with them. And through that process, I ended up writing 16 books at that point on the paranormal. So I became pretty well versed in it and active in investigations. And when I moved to New Harmony, I was just really blown away by how many ghosts there were. As I walked around exploring the town, I would go into a store and there would be a ghost, maybe two, maybe three. I'd go into the next store and I'd feel it there. I'd go into some of the old state-owned buildings and would discover something in that building as well. And I have spent time all over Massachusetts, including Salem, and I've never felt a town that has more of a condensed haunting than New Harmony. So I really began, it got my curiosity aroused. So I began talking to people and asking them about the stories and learned that there are so many ghost stories that have been circulating through town for a century. The first ghost story happened in 1868, and people have been passing these stories down, and I thought, wow, this is kind of interesting. So I started really researching it and talking to as many people as I could. I spent a lot of time down at Working Men's Institute, which is our local library, and that's when I decided to write my book, Haunted New Harmony, because I really wanted to get all these stories together and then also investigate them a little deeper, you know, to the point where I pulled town maps and I read a lot of very old books about New Harmony and pulled that information. So I wanted to find out, not only is the building haunted, but who do we think haunts it and why do we think they haunt it? So it was a very interesting process.
And I want to get into learning about some of the specific hauntings, but more on a broader scale question, I guess I would ask. Why do you think it is, or what have you found as to why it is such a condensed haunting of a town in the way that it is in New Harmony?
Well, I really think it goes back to the utopian society. New Harmony was founded in 1814 by a German Lutheran separatist who wanted to do his own thing. And so he bought 27,000 acres along the Wabash River and moved his followers here and basically set up this town. They functioned for 10 years before they decided to move further east. And they sold the town lock, stock, and barrel to someone with his own idea of what utopia looked like. And he was a Welsh social reformer named Robert Owen. And his idea of utopia revolved around education, social experiments, equality. So he had a far different version of utopia. He only lasted 2 years. His ideas were great, and some of them lived on, but his planning wasn't as effective. And the town eventually just kind of came to be a sleepy Midwestern town. But over the years, and I've especially noticed it in the 2.5 years that I've been here, that people love this town. They love it more than any other town I've ever seen. People come with their own vision of what utopia looks like. And some people feel that there's a lot of antique stores. They feel it's about the antiques. Other people feel it's about the art. We have several art galleries and programs. Others feel it's about the music. We have a music festival. And some people like me think it's more about the ghost, or just maybe the bubble, the New Harmony vibe. People feel it as soon as they come to town. It's a relaxed, healing place, and you can come here and forget about the world, and it's a wonderful place to be. And so I think that really encouraged a lot of people to stick around after they died. They felt they were already at heaven on earth, and they didn't want to leave it. So I think that could have something to do with it, but I'm sure it goes much deeper than that.
That's a real interesting way of looking at it, and that's something we talk about quite a bit when folks pass on, as to why are they at the area that they're at. And just as when you're living, you try and be in an area that you'd be happy with. The same would be, I think, of the dead, and maybe you're onto something there. I think that makes a lot of sense. Of if they were happy there in life, I'd want to stick around too. That would seem to make some sense. Tell me about the town in detail. Let's start talking about some of the locations. What was the first location that you went to or had an experience at that you would deem paranormal in New Harmony?
Oh, sure. Well, when I first moved to town, I really kind of wanted to be a part of the town and be accepted. I didn't want to walk in and say, oh, I'm a paranormal investigator and author, and have them take a look at me in a different light. I wanted to be accepted as a person before I went into that, because not everybody is accepting of that avenue. And I didn't want them to think I was a crazy person. So I just kind of came in slowly and kept my eyes open. I really didn't talk to anybody about what I did. And as I walked around the town, I was just astounded by how beautiful all the buildings were and the architecture. New Harmony certainly puts its money back into its buildings instead of tearing them down. We have many buildings that were built in the 1800s by the first Utopian Society, and they still stand as a testament to what happened here. And I think that helps as well with the haunting. But it was hard for me to get inside a lot of these buildings because a lot of them were locked and only open for special events. Well, as I was walking along, I saw this store called the Arbor House, and it was an authentic 1830s house that was very similar to the construction of the Harmonist houses, and it was called the Arbor House. And I went in. The shop was open, and I thought, wow, this is great. I just really wasn't even thinking about ghosts. I was thinking about how beautiful the building was and wanting to see it. And as I walked in, all the lights were off, but the sign on the door said open. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. But I walked in anyways, and I looked around. I was the only one in the store. I didn't see a shop owner or anything. And I walked towards the back of the store, and there was another room that had a lot of Christmas items in it. And I was just kind of poking around looking, and all of a sudden I felt someone come up behind me. And the sensation was so strong, I really truly felt like I was going to turn around and find a living person there. But when I turned around, there was nobody there. And, nobody that I could see. And in my mind, I immediately got a mind picture, which I get sometimes, of a woman dressed in like 1800s period clothing, long, fairly plain dress. She had gray hair that was pulled back into a knot, and she had big black glasses on, almost Harry Potter glasses. And it was important for me to know that the glasses, the round glasses. Well, as I stood there, I was like, oh, okay. And she was very warm and welcoming. She was almost like a shopkeeper there to welcome me, except for she was in ghost form. And I got two images in my mind. One was spinster and schoolmarm. And I thought, okay, that's curious. I didn't know what to make of it. But then she disappeared. So I continued back out the door. I decided I had enough. And as I walked out, as I got to the door, the lights flickered on. And I thought, okay, well, that was interesting. And when I got outside, the shopkeeper was actually sitting outside. She was having a cigarette under the arbor. And she's very warm. Her name is Barb. And she started chatting with me and asked me where I was from. And she asked me what I did. And I was like, well, you know, here it goes. I said, I'm an author. And she said, oh, what do you write? And any thoughts of keeping the paranormal out of the conversation ended right there. I told her, well, I'm a paranormal author. And her eyebrows kind of rose, and she smiled, and she goes, oh. And I thought, well, here goes nothing. I said, I met your ghost. And she laughed and smiled, and she said, which one? So at that point, the conversation became very open, and I was able to discuss with her what I had felt and what I thought was going on there. And she said, well, that is curious. And she went on to tell me that that building has been haunted since she bought it, probably before then, but she has had it for about 10 years, and she noticed the ghost there before she even bought the building. It's probably one of the reasons why she bought the building and opened her store there. And she said over the years, the ghost has been very active, but not in a negative way. She actually calls the ghost there the lady spirit of the house. The first thing that happened to her was one night she had been working all day painting the inside of the building, and she went to bed. She was exhausted. As she lay down in bed, she heard a crash come from the bathroom. Well, most people would jump up and go see what it was, but not Barb. She's one of those no-nonsense, say-it-like-it-is people, and she yelled from her bed, "Leave me alone, I'm trying to sleep." And she gets up the next morning and discovers the reason for the sound. She had a metal bin on the back of her toilet that held toilet paper, and it had been carried into the center of the room, dumped out, and the bin dropped. And that was the bang. So after that, she began having more and more experiences. There was a Christmas tree she had set up with snowballs on it, and sometimes those would go launching across the room at customers when they were shopping. Other times, things would disappear and reappear. She once lost her keys for 6 months until they reappeared in the middle of her bedroom floor. And the other thing that happens are the lights. Ghosts there like to play with the light switch, which I found on my first visit to the store. And she said there was one girl that worked there in the evenings, and very often she would be sitting there by herself in the shop, and it's dark outside, and all the lights would turn off. And it would freak her out. She would run to the light switch and turn it on, and there was nothing wrong with the lights. There was no power surge or anything. They just went off, and that would happen pretty frequently to her, to the point where she eventually quit working there because she couldn't handle the stress of never knowing when the lights were going to go off on her.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. SI.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to COSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at COSI.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to COSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at COSI.org.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.